Ladies and gentlemen, it is Thursday, April 18th, 2024. This is your election headquarters, the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. The fastest 3 hours on the internet with 202 days remaining until the presidential election. Now, I am absolutely loaded today, and I mean loaded. My crew is probably, well, not probably, I know they're a little annoyed with me even because of the amount of videos and news clips and everything else I was sending them right up till showtime. But we are just ridiculously loaded, and the news continues to break as we go live here. Now, let me tell you what we have coming up. We do have a lot of political developments, and it's really unfathomable. It's unconscionable that any of this is going on. But they just keep pumping more and more money into these foreign countries, into these bills. And so it's like, okay, it's going to be $70 billion, and then there's pushback, and they can't get it through. And then it's, well, okay, it's $80 billion, then it's $90 billion. Now it's $100 billion. Now it's $100 billion. And we're getting some of the details where this money is going, what it's for. Is it for your southern border? No. Is it for your military strength? No. Is it for Americans, homeless, veterans? No. Is it for your infrastructure, roads, bridges, railroads? No. $100 billion, another $100 billion, and none of it for America. None. And now Mike Johnson, if there was any wiggle room, Mike Johnson released the January 6th footage that Kevin McCarthy wouldn't. Outside of that, I think you could now argue that Mike Johnson is worse than Kevin McCarthy. Now, we'll get more into that, and we'll explain what's going on and why that's the conclusion that's being reached. And we'll hear from Marjorie Taylor Greene and others about why this is so bad. But it's almost like McCarthy. I'm already, yeah, Johnson, McCarthy. Oh, I don't know. It's almost like he knows what he's doing, that the Republicans are in a pinch right now in the House. And so he's like, well, they can't really do anything about it. So might as well just get all this spending in and might as well just illegally spy on Americans. Might as well just do it all. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who again we'll be hearing from, had an interesting response to this, not just with speaking to the press, but something she put in the bill, which is brilliant. $100 billion for, $100 billion? Oh, great. We'll build some new bridges, some new infrastructure, maybe fix some airports, some airplanes, secure our southern border. Ha! No, of course not. No, you won't be getting any of that. Then there's Joe Biden. And it's weeks like this, when you look at Joe Biden, when you look at his activity, when you look at the response, you really just almost can't believe that they're going to go with this guy to the finish line. Folks, it's getting really, really bad. Now, earlier this week, he had a speech in Pennsylvania. We played a lot of those clips where he can't even talk, okay? He does a 30-minute, quote-unquote, rally, and he can't even talk, and nobody shows up. Well, now the same thing is going on, and he's having these other fake rallies, and he can't talk, and then he's out on the tarmac just making things up. Like he just watched a movie or something, and now he's talking about the movie like he's in the movie. Just complete ludicrous stuff. So we got those clips. I mean, I got so much news today. Fastest 3 hours on the internet. We're going to do it. We're going to get through all the videos. We're going to get through all the news right here on the InfoWars. Brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Before I get into the news and start reading all the news and playing all the video clips, there's two things that just absolutely boggle my mind. And when I just kind of remove the political lens, the cultural lens, my own bias, my own views, my own perspectives, my own opinions, my own information. If I just remove all these different lenses, let's say, and I just look at this from just a totally neutral perspective, not political, just a human being, an American citizen, totally neutral, looking at all the developments, it boggles my mind. It truly boggles my mind. We'll start with the lesser. How is it every time we turn around, every time Congress convenes, it's another $100 billion for a foreign country? Every single damn time. Now, it doesn't matter what city I go to. It doesn't matter what city I live in. I can go right down here to Austin, Texas. I can go north to Dallas. I can go south to San Antonio. I can go east to Houston. I can go to my hometown of St. Louis. I can go to the East Coast, to Baltimore. I can go to New York City. I can go to the West Coast. I can go to San Francisco. I can go to L.A. I can go north. I can go to Chicago. I can go to Minneapolis. Infrastructure collapsing. Violent crime on the streets. Poverty. Homelessness. Degradation. That's happening in my backyard. That's happening in my front yard. But then every time we turn around, here's Congress, $100 billion for any country, any planet, any universe, any galaxy, anywhere else, but not here. Not here. And our taxes continue to go up. Our inflation increases. It's just a crushing situation. So again, remove the politics, remove your own bias, your own perspectives, your own view, whatever. That is a neutral observation. Nobody can deny. That's the reality, and it's not changing. Nothing is changing that right now. And at that trajectory, and we're already seeing it in many of the cities I just mentioned, this country will be a third world hellhole. But see, we get distracted. It's like if you had your house and your living room, and it's totally disheveled, and there's trash everywhere, and the roof is caving in, and it's just a complete mess, but you got a real nice big screen TV. I mean, it's the 80-inch HD 4K, got all the channels. Yeah. That's basically America. Like, yeah, everything around me is pretty much going to you-know-what. Everything around me is going to hit, but hey, look at this. Nice. I got a brand new 80-inch TV. Look at that, HD. Yeah. Ooh, got the game on tonight. Oh, yeah, there's piles of trash and the room stinks. Can't even see the floor. Roof is caving in. I got black mold on the wall. But damn, is the picture on my flat screen. That's nice. That's basically America. So again, there's nothing political about that. That's not right wing or left wing or conservative or liberal or Republican or Democrat. That's the reality of our situation. And it's mind-boggling, quite frankly. Because it doesn't have to be like this, and it makes no sense. And we have hundreds of billions of dollars every congressional session, every time Congress convenes, hundreds of billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars. But it's never for our country. The people that give them the money, the people that get taxed out the wazoo, you own something and the government makes you pay for it. You already own it. Okay. But now you get into the heavier observation. Again, this is just a neutral observation. I've been watching more CNN and MSNBC lately because I'm always monitoring them somewhat, but usually I'm just watching whatever right-wing news I can monitor, Fox, Newsmax, different podcasts, talk shows, Rumble, what have you. But lately, I've been monitoring MSNBC and CNN as part of my normal news aggregation and news monitoring. And most people aren't watching anymore. You might see some leftist commentary here. You might see some clips there. You might see some of the street activity. And you figure, well, it's just kind of the normal leftist stuff, the normal deranged stuff. No, actually, it's not. Now, I don't even want to sound political here, so I'm going to kind of draw back from that. I've been monitoring MSNBC and CNN, and this is what's so mind-boggling. Conservatives and liberals, right-wingers, left-wingers, Democrat, Republican voters live in two completely different planets. They live in two completely different realities. It's mind-boggling. Just that alone, just standing alone. Again, I'm removing my own political lens. Remove your own politics and bias and viewpoints and perspective. These are two neutrally observable phenomenons that are happening. It's undeniable. We all know it. Our Congress can spend hundreds of billions of dollars at a moment's notice for any foreign country as our country's falling apart. And the left wing and the right wing in America live, it's so hyperpolarized, the crevasse is so wide that they now exist in two completely different realities. Completely different realities. Okay. These are neutrally observable facts. No one's going to deny this. No one can argue against that. Not even political. So I just ask myself, how is this happening? How is this real? How is it that people that live in the same country, on the same planet, have access to all the same stuff, same information, can live in two completely different realities? That's Twilight Zone stuff. How is it that we can all observe? We can all walk down the street. We can all walk downtown. We can all look at this. We all know what's going on. Our cities are crumbling. Our infrastructure is crumbling. Our country is falling apart. And yet Congress has no problem. Hundreds of billions stacked on hundreds of billions, stacked on hundreds of billions for foreign countries that do nothing for us. It's mind-boggling. How is this going on? How are those two things consistently happening? And nothing is changing it. And the trajectory doesn't change. So as I'm sitting there watching the MSNBC CNN madness, and okay, let me kind of get back into my normal groove. As I'm watching the MSNBC CNN madness covering these Trump cases, I'm just, folks, they're more insane to us, to a right winger or to a common sense conservative or to someone that just has logic and reasoning capabilities at all. It's why you're tuned into the show, or you want to be politically informed and so you're going somewhere that's accurate and tells it like it is. The American left is actually crazier than they've ever been. And watching their coverage of the Trump trial, and then it's like they're somehow trying to relive all the prior years where everything they've said about Trump failed. And so it's like they've doubled down, they've tripled down, they've quadrupled down, quintupled down. It's like they're on their 10th double down now, and they're putting it all into these Trump cases. And this is it. He's finally cooked. They finally got him. There's definitely no bias. It's definitely not political persecution. It's definitely because Trump is bad and he's a criminal and we finally got him this time. And they're building this up. And it's more insane than you've ever seen it. It's more insane than you've ever seen it. So there's only two conclusions to this. Either they do set the precedent where they can just take out their political opposition, and we have, as if we haven't really already had a one-party rule, But at least you've kind of had a little jockeying and back and forth, and maybe there's enough to at least stave off the tyranny for your lifetime. But no, if they do get Donald Trump and they remove him from the election and they set that precedent, then it's done. It's officially a one-party state, Democrat Party tyranny. Throw out the Constitution, throw out the Bill of Rights, throw out the justice system, the weaponization of government. They'll cancel elections. They'll pack the Supreme Court. Done. America finished. That's why I say by the year 2030, one of these two things will be extinct, either the Democrat Party or the United States of America. The two things cannot coexist. One of these two things will be extinct by 2030, the Democrat Party or the United States of America. So that's where it's going from their angle. Well, let's say none of this comes true. Let's say Trump does not get convicted of anything. Trump walks from all these charges. Trump is completely exonerated, completely innocent, and then wins the presidential election. They are setting whatever remains of the radical left up for such a psychotic break, I don't even know if we can comprehend it. And it's one thing to witness the psychotic break at the levels of power where they do the political persecution and everything that we're witnessing, and opening the borders and taking your rights, lying to you every day. But remember how they acted during the inauguration in 2016. I have a feeling that if we get to this point and Trump gets inaugurated in 2025, I don't know. The level of psychotic break these people are going to have is unprecedented. It'll be so much worse than 2016, where they were smashing buildings and attacking people in the streets and protesting in the streets and firebombing vehicles, firebombing businesses, bashing people with baseball bats and crowbars for wearing Trump hats. And then you may remember there was kind of a residual, an aftershock for about a year where if you were just out in public in a Trump hat, somebody'd come up to you and pour a drink on you, bash you in the head with a bat, spit on you, spit in your drink, contaminate your food. We're about to relive this, except it's going to be 10 times worse. Because the left is setting themselves up for such a failure. So these are the two directions it goes, though. Either the Democrats conquer America and it's done, it's over. Or Trump is exonerated, wins the election, and the American left has such a psychotic break that you really can't even comprehend it, except to look at the inauguration from 2017, I suppose. It was 2017, actually. Look at the terrorism they engaged in and then multiply that by about 10. I mean, they will go, it'll become way more organized, way more well-funded. It will be a complete break from reality, a complete break from any sense of normal human decency. And they just won't care anymore. They won't even care if they go to jail. Honestly, they probably won't even care if they get shot by a police officer. They'll probably want it. I'm telling you, it's that bad. Because they've told their audience, this is it for Trump. We finally got him, the biggest racist. They find text messages inside the Biden White House, inside these Democrat organizer groups, and they call Trump Hitler pig. So they really believe they're fighting Hitler, even though they hate Jews. I mean, again, talk about the irony. They think they're fighting Hitler, yet they want to take the guns like Hitler did. They think they're fighting Hitler, yet they're the anti-Jew party like Hitler was. So, I mean, they are Hitler, but the point is, they really think they're fighting the biggest evil of all time. They really believe Trump is the biggest evil of all time. They really believe that Trump's followers are the biggest threat to humanity. They really believe in climate change. They believe all of this stuff, and it's all going to come crashing down around them potentially. Because this is all they get. And this is what they get at the universities. And this is what they get on their social media platforms. And this is what they get from their news agencies. And this is what they get from NPR. And it might all come crashing down around them. And there will be a psychotic break. the likes of which will 2016, 2017 will pale in comparison. And I guess the best analogy might be, it'd be like if you told a kid for months that if he just behaved and he just did this or did that and, you know, ate his vegetables or whatever, then he could go to the theme park at the end of the year, or he could get the new toy that he wanted. And then the day comes and he's like, I did it. I behaved. I didn't get in trouble. I got the good grades. I ate my vegetables. All right, we're going to the theme park. And they say, nope, you can't go to the theme park. And then the kid has a psychotic break, except we're dealing with grown adult children with mental issues, arrested development syndrome, who will actually be out in the streets committing acts of violence. So we have really been put in a pickle here. We have really been put in a pickle here. And I don't really see any other alternative to those two potentials in the next 202 days. Either the Democrats conquer this country and virtually end the election process, or have it so rigged that it's all fake anyway. Many people believe we're already there. Or Trump gets in again, and the left wing in America goes into psychotic fits of rage and fury and has just a complete psychotic break that is going to look like 2016, 2017 all over again, except much worse. Except much worse. So that's where I see it going now. All right. Now, I've got almost 40 video clips. We've got Biden fumbling and bumbling, making things up. This guy's just making things up now. I don't know how they take Biden to the finish line. It's so bad. But it kind of just adds to the equation of everything I just talked about. If they take Biden to the finish line and he wins, I don't even think Democrats are going to believe that. This guy can't even have a rally. He had a public rally in Pittsburgh. And again, what happens? It gets protested. Protesters get inside. Protesters take over the outside. Then he starts talking and he doesn't know where he is. He needs help getting directed around the stage. Then they try to have, mimic the Trump bodega thing where Trump goes to the bodega, pop-up rally, thousands of people show up, take over the streets chanting, we love Trump, it's a big love fest, big America fest. They try to recreate that with Joe Biden. Miserable failure. So we got all those video clips. We're also going to hear this latest deal from Speaker Johnson. Folks, this is bad. And I understand both sides of the issue here. And Troy Nels, one of the best congressmen, was on the Alex Jones show earlier today. He did a great interview with Alex Jones. If we had 200 Troy Nels, we'd be all right. But unfortunately, there's only one. And I understand why he says we can't move to vacate Speaker Johnson. I get that side of things. But what difference does it make at this point, whether it's a Democrat or Republican, when Mike Johnson might as well be a Democrat? He gives the Democrats everything they want. And what has Mike Johnson done for Republicans? What has Mike Johnson done for the Republican cause? What has Mike Johnson done that a Republican voter would request him to do? Anything? No. No, nothing. So I don't see what difference it makes. Here's the equation. This is the real question. This is the only thing that needs to be measured in this debate. Forget about Wonk. Because Mike Johnson might as well be a Democrat. The proof is already in the pudding. He has the track record. He has the enough of a historical archive as speaker that we know whether it was McCarthy or Johnson or Pelosi or Jeffries, no difference. So Johnson is now in that same realm, no different, didn't change anything, might as well be a Democrat, might as well be run by Chuck Schumer. So as far as saying, well, we don't want to give the Democrats a chance to get the next speaker or you know, whatever it is, forget about that. That's not the debate. That's not the measurement. That's already been decided. Here's the measurement. The measurement is, Are American voters, centrists, not Republican or Democrat, independents, centrist, undecided voters, are they going to look at this issue and are they going to see the headlines or believe the headlines that Republican Party in chaos, GOP in chaos, GOP disrupting, GOP can't govern, and are they going to look at that as a negative? And are they going to say, oh, geez, the GOP is out of control. The Republican Party is out of control. They can't be trusted to govern. They're too chaotic. Or are the American people going to say, you know what? Good. We need to disturb the current order in D.C. We need chaos in D.C. We've been getting run over. We've been getting crushed. That's the question. Well, how do you answer that question? What proof do you have? Your proof is Donald Trump. And so, yes, you can remove Speaker McCarthy or Johnson. No difference. Now I'm accidentally saying it every time. You can remove Speaker Johnson, cause the chaos, cause the disruption, and then own it and win over the American voters. That's how you do it. Like when Trump had Pelosi and Schumer in the office, like, don't you know, Donald, we're going to blame the shutdown on you, Donald. If this government happens and it shuts down, we're going to blame it on you. And Trump goes, good, blame it on me. Go ahead, blame the shutdown on me. Good, we'll shut it down. You can blame it on me. That's what you do. You say, yeah, damn right we're causing chaos in D.C. because this city's the most corrupt city on the planet. So you own it. That's what I think needs to be done.
All right, we're going to look at this ridiculous move from Mike Johnson. I guess he views himself as a lame duck speaker, so he might as well just push everything through and please whoever owns him. Thomas Massey commenting, unprecedented. Speaker Johnson plans to pass the rule for the $100 billion foreign aid package using Democrats on the Rules Committee. Is he working for Democrats or Republicans now? It would appear Democrats, wouldn't it? Or maybe he was always working for the Democrats. We can get into some of the details with some of these bills, and we will. But I'll tell you what, let's go here to Marjorie Taylor Greene. First, again, indicating that Speaker Johnson's days as Speaker are limited in clip 18.
Is your support for your motion to vacate growing?
It is growing. I think some people are becoming more angry than I am. We'll see what happens today. I don't know how much longer our members are going to tolerate the Republican speaker that we elected to pass our agenda in the House. We don't know. I don't know how long people are going to tolerate this because he's doing nothing but serving the Democrats.
Now, it'll be interesting to see. Just out of curiosity, I mean, for any effective measures, it won't make a difference. But how many people are going to vote to remove Johnson versus how many people voted to remove McCarthy? Is it going to be more? And what does that tell you? What does that tell you? Might tell you a couple things. Might tell you Speaker Johnson ended up being worse than Kevin McCarthy for many different reasons. It might tell you that there's a shift inside the Republican Party, specifically the House, that says, you know what? I noticed that the most popular members of the Republican House are the ones in the Freedom Caucus. I noticed that the most popular amongst the Republican voters are the ones that voted to oust McCarthy. Maybe I should kind of get behind that movement. Maybe this is safe to get behind. Maybe this is the populist move. Maybe I want to be a part of it. Or maybe they're not even looking at us at it from a popularity or a getting reelected issue. Maybe they're just finally realizing that this is the right thing to do politically. So here's Marjorie Taylor Greene outside the Capitol expanding more on this in front of the press gaggles, huge press gaggles in clip 23.
Mike Johnson owes our entire conference a meeting, and if he wants to change the motion to vacate, he needs to come before the Republican conference that elected him and tell us of his intentions and tell us what this rule change to the motion to vacate is going to be. And I'll tell you something, Kevin McCarthy, while he was staring down the barrel of a loaded gun, he never made a move like this behind closed doors and made deals with Democrats to change the motion to vacate. And we're hearing that's exactly what Mike Johnson is doing. It's unprecedented. This has never happened in history, and it's completely wrong. He owes our conference the truth, and he owes Republicans answers.
Have you heard from colleagues today?
I'm waiting to find out what's going to happen. And this is the type of betrayal that Republican voters are absolutely fed up with. You know, he really crossed the line with most Republicans across the country with what he did on the FISA vote last week, being the final deciding vote against warrants and then passing FISA. And now he's moving forward, making funding to Ukraine, $60 billion to Ukraine, his top priority, the most important thing he can do in a speakership. And he's willing to work with Democrats to make that deal and get that done and change the motion to vacate to do it.
Have you heard other colleagues who say that this potential action could put them more in your camp of wanting to motion to vacate sooner rather than later?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've
told you guys I will not speak for my colleagues. That would be extremely disrespectful for me to do. It's up to them to come forward and say it. But if Mike Johnson goes in there and attaches to the rule, which is the Rules Committee is meeting right now, so we'll see when that vote takes place. If he attaches a rule to change the motion to vacate during the, and then uses Democrat votes on the Rules Committee, he's going to prove exactly what I've been saying correct. He is the Democrat speaker. I don't think that's ever happened in history before, and that's going to be the message that will definitely change everything.
Speaker Johnson was asked directly why he believes it's worth losing his job potentially over putting the AG Ukraine on the floor, and he said it's because it's the right thing to do. What do you make of that response from the speaker?
He's serving Ukraine first and America last, and that would be the worst thing to do for a United States House of Representatives speaker, third in line to the President of the United States, to do nothing for American citizens. Think about this. Monday was tax day. So as Americans were paying their hard-earned tax dollars to this government, the Republican speaker is hinging his entire ability to stay speaker on sending $60 billion to Ukraine. I can't think of a worse betrayal ever to happen in United States history. And here's what's really ironic. The constitutional attorney, Mike Johnson, is literally betraying the American people in order to keep his grip of power on the speakership.
A lot of your Republican colleagues are increasingly frustrated.
That's big right there.
I'm gonna get
into that.
I think I speak for the people. And the people are the party. And that's everything wrong with the Republican Party. Many Republican leaders have forgotten that. And this is why Republican voters for many years now are so tired of the Republican Party that writes strongly worded letters, has a great 3 to 5 minutes on Fox News, and continues to just say, give these talking points, but never backs it up with actions. Republican voters want actions. They want to be protected from the destructive Democrat agenda, and Republican leaders aren't doing it.
Have you talked with Trump about this since Friday when you met with the speaker and he said, I stand with him?
I'm not going to be disclosing my conversations with President Trump. I think President Trump made it clear when he said, we'll see what happens.
So you guys have spoken with him? What's holding you back from moving forward right now, given that all the objections you've been raising, the possibility of this motion of vacancy being raised? What's holding you back?
I'm a responsible person. I've been a business owner and a successful business owner most of my life before I came to Congress. I'll say it again. I respect my conference and I respect my colleagues. I also want to do everything I can to project our majority and keep it next time. And so I'm not acting out of emotions or rash feelings or anger. I'm doing this the right way, and I'm allowing my conference to see exactly what I saw months ago. And I called it out in my dear colleague letter. We have to work as a conference, and when the Republican Party figures out how to be a team, then I'll argue the Republican Party will finally learn to govern.
All right. Now, notice what she said there that's really interesting. Because that's what I'm thinking, too. Why would Mike Johnson, who didn't even want to be the speaker, apparently, be going behind closed doors with the Democrats to institute a rule change to protect his speakership? What is that about? Is this guy really now addicted to the political power? He comes out and says, I'm a wartime speaker? Has something consumed this guy, or is there something else going on now where he has to remain in that position for some other reason? So that's a very interesting point, and again, Marjorie Taylor Greene is right on it. And again, you know, if we had 200 Marjorie Taylor Greens, we wouldn't be having these issues, but there's only one. You know, this is the hope, though, that
If we're going to save this country peacefully and politically, which is what we want, then these are the types of people that are going to run for office and win. In Georgia, in Florida, in Tennessee, in Kentucky, in Iowa, in Missouri. It's the only way. Has to happen. And maybe it's inevitable. Because the average American just knows how screwed up things are. But if you want to be a Democrat, the only way you're going to get in is if you hate America. But it's starting to be realized the only way you're going to get in as a Republican or get support as a Republican is to be staunchly America first and committed to that with not just your words, but also your actions. All right, we're back here live on the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Products from InfoWarsStore.com. It was really, it was really tough. It was really tough. I said DNA Force Plus, Vitamin Mineral Fusion, and then the water filters. That's what I went with. But I mean, you could maybe substitute Turbo Force Plus for Vitamin Mineral Fusion, but that's what I went with. DNA Force Plus, Vitamin Mineral Fusion, and then the water filters. So that's what I went with. DNA Force Plus, the elite flagship supplement of InfoWars Store, is 50% off right now. Vitamin Mineral Fusion and Turbo Force Plus, the great drink mixes, both 40% off right now. So you can find out why those are my favorite products for yourself. And then the water filters is a given. You should be filtering your water. In fact, it's funny, there was a story, I think it was published last night or earlier this week from Fox News. Forever chemicals in the water are harmful. There was once a guy who talked about the chemicals in the water turning the frogs gay. They made a joke and they laughed and they pointed. And now here they are publishing the exact same headline. Oh, you don't say. Yeah, InfoWars, next decade's news today, many times. So it's just funny to see these things. They're always catching up. But it's the products at InfoWarsStore.com that keep this show on the air, the great crew employed, and keep us independent. Keep us independent so that we can tell it like it is without having to worry about people owning us. We're owned by nobody. Really, it's like the audience kind of owns us. But you don't own us. You just expect great news coverage and a great product, and we deliver on both at InfoWars.com and at InfoWarsStore.com. Okay, let's get into more of the ins and outs of this bill. I've got a ton of Biden clips here. Some short ones, some long ones. We're going to get to those too. So, but here's some of the stuff we have going on from Representative Andy Ogles. $300 million. For the U.S. border. No, I'm kidding you. I'm joking. No, it's $300 million for the State Border Guard Service of Ukraine. Of Ukraine. But nothing for the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Hashtag America last. Ha ha ha. You actually thought it was $300 million to secure your border? Ho 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 ho. Nah. Nah. Speaker Johnson is more interested in Ukraine's border. Why? Why? See, this is what's so frustrating, is we get one line of questioning, maybe, because it's the assumptive questioning, which is, hey, why is Ukraine's border so important? Oh, well, Russia's going to invade, and Russia's going to then go into Europe, and then Russia's going to conquer the world. Oh, my God. So we have to stop them at Ukraine's border. And it's just all made up BS. Just all made up BS. Ukraine is part of Russia. Russia is not going to invade Europe. Russia is not going to conquer Europe. Russia is not looking for these land invasions. The only reason they're going into Ukraine is because the Ukrainian leadership is corrupt. It's now becoming the front man for NATO. And so, yes, geopolitically and strategically, Russia doesn't want that to happen, so they're going into Ukraine. Really, to save Ukraine. It's actually probably pro-Ukraine. But let's just say let's just say Russia wants to have a land invasion of Ukraine, and then, I don't know, maybe Poland or somewhere in Europe. I still don't care. I still don't want to give them $300 million to protect the Ukrainian border, which, by the way, hasn't worked. Hasn't worked. There is no Ukrainian border anymore. Russia is going wherever the hell they want, whenever the hell they want to. But don't worry, your border is nice and wide open. So if the Russians want to come here, they're welcome to. And in fact, they are, actually. So isn't that nice? And getting free plane rides. There was one Russian. I didn't send the video to the crew, but there was a Russian. Savannah Hernandez had the video. He's like, yeah, I'm from Russia. I just came here and I'm touring America for free. What? It's like, yeah, I got a free plane ticket to New York. Next, I'm going to Chicago. When I finish touring there, I'm going to go check out the West Coast and L.A. And she's like, this is all getting paid for by the U.S. government? He's like, yeah, it's great. It's great. I can come in here for free and get everything paid for. And then once my 30 days are up in each city, they'll give me a free ticket to go wherever I want. Yeah, there he is right there. He's like, yeah, this is great. I have free tourism. I get to go to New York and Chicago and L.A. It's all paid for by the U.S. taxpayer. Thank you. Thank you. And he's Russian. More money for Ukraine, though. I like this from Marjorie Taylor Greene. Marjorie Taylor Greene proposes forcing lawmakers who vote for Ukraine aid to join its military. Yeah, and I'd make that clause for everybody who we want to support. You want to fund Israel's military? Go join it, too. How about that? How about that? Amendment to Ukraine Security Supplemental Appropriations Act 2024 offered by Ms. Greene. Mrs. Greene of Georgia, insert in the appropriate place the following. Any member of Congress who votes in favor of this act shall be required to conscript in the Ukrainian military. Yeah. You think they're going to vote for it then? You think Mike Johnson's going to vote for it then? No, of course not. None of them would. But they'll send your sons and daughters. They'll send all the poor Ukrainians to get slaughtered in the meat grinder, get kidnapped. Because they're wicked bastards. Because they're sick, psychotic freaks that run our government. Washington, D.C. The district of the corrupt. The district of criminals. Rand Paul. Their latest America Last legislation. Now, notice, because he's been updating this. It started at $70 billion, then it was $80 billion. Now it's up to $100 billion. So the $70 billion gets rejected, and then they come to the table, and it's $80 billion, and now it's $100 billion. Why? Because they just keep adding more pork. And so a member will say, I'm not going to vote for the bill unless there's more here. I'm not going to vote for the bill unless there's more here. I'm not going to vote for the bill unless you give my friend money. I'm not going to vote for the bill unless you give my cousin money. I'm not going to vote for the bill unless you try to stop climate change. I'm not going to vote for the bill unless you do this. And now it's up to $100 billion. Yes, now everybody gets their pork. You pay for it. Your bill just keeps going up. Like, you get your bill at dinner, it's like, oh, wow, it's an expensive bill. Okay, here you go. It's like, oh, actually, your bill just went up. Just went up? Yeah, it just went up again, too. And, yeah, now it's even more. What? I'm just sitting at the table. How does my bill keep getting more? I haven't even eaten yet. Where's my food? Their latest America Last legislation. Ukraine, $61 billion. Israel, $26 billion. Indo-Pacific, $8 billion. TikTok ban, Repo Act. What do Americans get? Inflation and wide open borders. So this just gets me back to where we started the show with the opening monologue. How in the hell is this going on? How bad is it in Congress? Seriously, how bad is it? Is 80% of Congress just totally blackmailed? What are they on tape? Eating feces or something? I mean, these can't be political decisions. These can't be decisions that they make for political reasons or policy reasons. Or, I mean, there's no common sense here.
is all of Congress just completely blackmailed except the ones that stand out against this? I mean, is that how bad it is? I mean, seriously. What are you guys on film doing? Did you go to Epstein Island? Did you go to a Diddy party? Did somebody hack your phone when you were cheating on your wife? Or did you get honeypotted? Did you end up with a young girl or a young boy and you didn't know they were underage? I mean, what is going on here? How do you continue to spend hundreds of billions of dollars in foreign countries as America is getting screwed? This is just, it's unfathomable. I can't think of any other reason except the majority of Congress is blackmailed. I can't think of any other legitimate reason. Cannot figure it out. This is not just political corruption, folks. This is outright being controlled. This is outright sabotage that's going on. And they're also about to vote to let the NSA take over the entire internet and use it as a spy grid against you. So that's going on, too. It's nice. You just keep getting screwed every which way. All right, Senator Josh Hawley, telling it like it is. I got more open border news coming up, by the way. But how is it that Lake and Riley ended up being murdered? How is it that a young American girl, beloved by everyone that knew her, how is it that she ends up getting killed by an illegal immigrant? Josh Hawley has the why. Here he is explaining it.
Expunged. Nothing is done to this guy. He had a criminal record to start with. He's in the country on illegal grounds. You have falsely and illegally allowed him in. He commits a crime against a child. He's not prosecuted. It's expunged. In November, get this. In November, Ibarra files an application for employment authorization. And unbelievably, on December the 9th, 2023, it's approved. So this is your policies in action, Mr. Secretary. A criminal is permitted into this country on grounds flatly not permitted, flatly contradictory to the statute. He commits a crime against a child, and then he gets a work permit. He gets a work permit. You want to know why all of the jobs in the last 2 or 3 years have gone to illegal migrants? Working people in this country can't get a job. Their unemployment rate's high. Why? Because of things like this. And then what's he do? Well, we all know. Then in February, he commits the heinous crime against Lake and Riley. Is this a record that you are proud of?
Senator, you've misstated some facts.
I have read from the parole file, which you have said you don't recall, don't have, you miscited. I'm reading from it. It is right here. And I've just, pursuant to the speech and debate clause, I have just read it into the record. And the reason is you have lied repeatedly to Congress and to the American people about this. They deserve to know. And the only way they're going to know is if I tell them. I've just told them. It's in the record now. I've read it verbatim from the parole file. Verbatim. I just want to know, why did you change your story so often? Why didn't you just answer honestly to Congressman Bishop and Senator Britt?
Senator, I am confident that justice will be vindicated in the criminal prosecution of the case.
He's already
well,
dead.
Hopefully he'll get more of a trial than you got. Otherwise, there'll be no justice for anyone at all.
She's already dead, you son of a bitch, Mayorkas. Here's Senator Eric Schmidt, outraged at Schumer and McConnell for stopping the impeachment, clip 11.
It's a stain on this institution. It diminishes this body. It is why I stood up to object to a ridiculous idea that somehow we're supposed to negotiate away our constitutional duty. That isn't up for grabs. That's our job. Oh, thank you, Senator Schumer, for giving us a half hour to talk about this. No thanks. Not for me. Now, would I do that on some amendment to an approach bill? Probably not. But when Senator Schumer wants to set our constitutional order on fire, I will stand up and I will object. And I know many other people share that point of view.
I think the reality is starting to sit in here. And I expect that you're going to start to see a clear and separation like oil and water. You're going to start to see a clear separation between Republicans that actually care and actually want to
save the country or do their job versus the Republicans that are blackmailed, the Republicans that are really Democrats. It's already starting to happen, but I think the separation is going to become clear in the next 202 days. This Democrat Party is an outright destructive force. This Democrat Party, quite frankly, it's not just it's the biggest terrorist group. It's the biggest terror organization in the history of this country. I mean, it's as a political body is committing potential treason every single day. I mean, just look at these other stories. Hundreds of illegals storm over border fence in El Paso, just pouring in by the hundreds. ICE in Boston arrest 4 alleged child rapists in a single morning. Child rapists. And Mayorkas is letting them into the country, and they don't even get arrested, even though they have criminal records of child rape. Second hour of the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. We're now joined by dual-licensed attorney, Brazil, United States, Anna Schaefer, and she's going to talk to us about what's going on in Brazil with the Supreme Court. Specifically, though, she has a client who was a top advisor to Jair Bolsonaro, Felipe Martins, and he's currently sitting in a jail cell dealing with the political persecution going on in Brazil. So there's a lot of similarities between Brazil and the United States, I would hope. I guess she's licensed in Spain, too. Incredible. I would hope that the United States can free itself from the political corruption and the communist takeover. I would hope that Brazil could do the same. And so she joins me out to discuss all of this. We have political prisoners in the United States of America. I've been a political prisoner in the United States of America. You have a similar thing happening in Brazil, but specifically Peter Navarro, a Trump advisor, sits in prison today. Felipe Martins, a Bolsonaro advisor, sits in prison today. Give us the details.
Absolutely. And thank you for the opportunity to bring light to this case, which is unbelievable. As you point out, Felipe Martins was the international affairs advisor of Bolsonaro, which is a similar position to Jared Kushner. And right now he's being accused of conducting studies, writing documents, presenting reports that are supposed to evidence a coup, an attempt to overturn the 2022 elections. However, no proof, no documents have been presented. His arrest, his preemptive detention was occurred in February 8th under the allegation that only the seizure of his passport would not be sufficient because he supposedly would have traveled to the United States on December 30th with Bolsonaro to Orlando, but the records do not indicate that he left Brazil. And to bring some more light into this, the evidence used was two. Essentially was one passenger list found in one another President Bolsonaro's computer. And the version of the list used was version 10. However, we have evidence and we provide that evidence showing that the list went all the way to 15th. And he was not on the final list of passengers. In addition to that, we also provide evidence showing that he boarded a flight in Brazil on December 31st, one day after he was supposed to be in the United States. So it would be virtually impossible for him to have boarded that flight. And yet his prison has been maintained. And the other piece of evidence that was used was the CBP website that does bring a travel history that shows this entrance in the United States. However, it's important to mention that the website itself does have a disclaimer mentioning that it cannot be used for legal purposes because it receives information from several different sources. And in fact, we got a confirmation, official confirmation from CBP Orlando, that there is no I-94, which is the official document that proves that he entered the U.S. The CBP itself confirmed that his last entrance in the United States was on September 2022, which is consistent with his agenda. So right now, there's really nothing that, legally speaking, that keeps him in prison. Has never been. But more than anything, what we are seeing here is that that principle, it's which in Latin we will say In dubio pro reo, meaning if there is questions, then the defendant is free. Here is the opposite. We are presenting a lot of evidence showing that he does not apply, and he's still in prison.
So that sounds like the U.S. version of that would be innocent until proven guilty.
That's precisely correct.
But now it's just guilty until proven innocent here.
Innocent, and yet, even though we have a lot of evidence provided he's innocent, he's still in prison. And
well, I want to better understand something. So, they're claiming that I guess him flying to the U.S. to meet with Bolsonaro. They're claiming that was part of some coup attempt, and yet the records show that he was never even in Orlando at all.
Yeah, they claim that his location was unknown. And that they even imply that he circumvented the immigration system, but because there was no records of him leaving Brazil, they understood that because his location was unknown and there could be a risk of the investigation, and then they ordered his detention, this precautionary detention.
Well, you do need a passport and a visa to get access to the United States. Did they prove any evidence of that?
He does have a passport. He has a visa. But most importantly, the CBP, Customer Board and Patrol, confirmed that he did not enter the United States.
So they don't even care, though. So even though this evidence exists, they just... So how do you even quantify that?
In what sense? I mean, we already presented everything. And in fact, and that's what becomes very so unbelievable, the prosecution itself, which is the PGR, which is in Brazil would be the similar of general attorney, they already provided a guidance to let him go since March 1st. But Alexandre de Moraes is keeping him in prison. So even the prosecution confirmed that he should be free to go.
We have January 6 defendants that are still in prison. I know that there was a similar event, you might say, that happened in Brazil. Are there still defendants? I don't remember the date. Are there still defendants from that rotting in Brazilian prisons as well?
That's correct. So our version of the January 6 is January 8. And not only there are defendants sitting in jail, but they are actually being convicted. And we are talking about people that has no criminal history, and they are being convicted for 17 years in prison. We are talking about elderly people, fathers, mothers that had no criminal history or nothing, being convicted for 70 years in prison due to their participation on the Brazil January 8th event.
Well, I don't know how well researched you are in the January 6th developments, but I mean, the similarities there are almost uncanny. And there are many January 6th defendants here. Like you said, we're talking about elderly, we're talking about no criminal history, we're talking about no violent history or even violent activity on that day. They're rotting in prison. I can't speak to the ins and outs or the details of each January 6th defendant, but I'll tell you, for myself, almost at every stage, and I don't want to, you know, get anybody in trouble here, but almost every stage I went to, the powers that be that were right in front of me and looked at my thing said, I've never seen anything like this. This is blatant political persecution that you're going through, but I can't do anything about it. I'm just doing my job. I mean, are there still good people inside the Brazilian system that know what's going on is wrong? They're just, quote unquote, doing their job?
It's unfortunately how it has been. Of course, there are those that want to fight the system. We have a good example here. I want to bring her name, which is Ludmila Lins. She's a former judge in Brazil, and she was very vocal about the arbitrariness that was happening in the judiciary back in 2019. And she ended up losing her position, and now she's in the United States seeking asylum. And but to answer your question, yes, I mean, there are those that just follow orders, and there are those that are trying to change things, and things are not really looking good for those that are trying to change things. At least was not looking good until now. This release of the files from X, along with Elon Musk, did bring some optimism to Brazil as a whole. right now, because before that, if you research mainstream media internationally, you would only find bad things about Bolsonaro, good things about Lula, and it was very hard to show what was actually going on in Brazil for the international community.
What can you tell us about the developments with the Supreme Court there trying to censor people on X, the response from Elon Musk? What can you get into there?
What we are seeing is definitely an attempt to the Supreme Court still saying that they have a base for their decisions, but others do not. Like, I do have here the documentation that was just released yesterday by the U.S. Congress, which specifically states here that in 2019, Brazil Supreme Court granted itself new powers to act as investigator, prosecutor, judge, all at once in some cases, rather than relying on a prosecution or law enforcement officer. So what we're seeing here is absurd. And I do want to make a parallel. I'm not sure if most people know that, and it's interesting to know, but Brazil's first name was possible, actually, United States of Brazil. And that brings our countries very closely together, because the Brazil system has, even the federalism of Brazil was very inspired, much inspired in American, and the checks and balance was supposed to work in Brazil in the same way that in the United States. But we saw that change on the judiciary system. And I guess the message I want to send out is that Brazil did not turn like that overnight. And there are some concerning actions happening in the Supreme Court in the U.S. right now, such as Justice Jackson's remarks on the First Amendment saying that it can hamstring the government, which is precisely the point, right? So we need to be making those parallels. I'm not sure if I answered your question, but I wanted to clarify that point as well.
I've spent some time in Brazil. I have a lot of friends from Brazil. I've interviewed a lot of Brazilian nationalists on the show, and I try to get this out to the American audience as much as possible. The similarities between Brazil and the United States, I mean, we're really a perfect couple in the West, I would say. If we're looking for a Western ally, Brazil would be the best ally. It would be the most powerful force in the West for freedom against communism. I mean, engineering, creativity, tourism. I mean, both countries have everything. And so to see both these countries going through kind of the same journey at the same time, I mean, maybe it gives me hope that we both come out of this in the same way and can form that partnership. Are you now, again, when I look at your legal website, so you're licensed in three countries, is that correct?
Actually, two. I'm licensed here in the United States and in Brazil.
Okay, so you're originally from Brazil then?
I'm originally from Brazil, but I'm also an American, proud American as well. So yes, I have dual citizen and also dual license.
Okay, when was I, because I'm just trying to get a feel for what you know, what kind of finger on the pulse you have of Brazil right now? Have you been to Brazil recently?
Oh yes, I go to Brazil very often. I have not left Brazil a long time ago, so I still keep in touch with friends, family. I've been following politics closely, and a lot of my clients right now comes from Brazil as well.
Okay, so I asked that to try to figure this. Because, again, the American people don't really get much news from Brazil. There's obviously the language barrier there. But what is it like right now for a Bolsonaro supporter, or what is it like for a Brazilian nationalist, a Brazilian first individual that votes? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, here Trump is very popular. He's clearly, I mean, 10 times, 20 times more popular than Biden. The Trump support probably more strong than ever. What are the similarities or the differences between Trump and Bolsonaro right now with kind of the political movements behind them?
I would say that's really copy and paste. If you see how Bolsonaro is received everywhere he goes in Brazil right now, he has a lot of support. In fact, there was a manifestation last month that brought millions of people to the streets in São Paulo, which essentially did not get any coverage from mainstream media. But Bolsonaro is very loved by the Brazilian people. And it's hard not to to question. I mean, I don't want to get to be honest. We are very scared to mention about election fraud that could potentially have happened, but it's hard not to mention that when we see Lula going on the streets, and he does not bring any crowds along with him. In fact, there are people that scream at him and call him all those names, such as corrupt, and while Bolsonaro, everywhere he goes, he brings crowds along with him. So it's hard not to make a parallel between them, and should not have that being the support, and that's my intake on that. I understand that Bolsonaro would also be in prison, but it would be such a hard thing to do because it would really bring a lot of outrages from the population.
Yeah, I would say there's only three men that can really do that organically, just create a buzz, create a crowd on the streets like that. Donald Trump, Jair Bolsonaro, and don't take this the wrong way, but Lionel Messi. These are probably the three men on earth right now that can probably do this, or kind of like a Ronaldinho back in the day. They can't even walk in public without just masses following them around and showing them love and showing them support. It's very similar with Biden. In fact, I got some clips I'm going to play later today on the show. Biden, he walks into a diner and nobody even knows. Nobody even cares. There's not even any ounce of support or anything. It's actually rather embarrassing for him. But Donald Trump goes on the streets of New York City, where supposedly it's deep blue, deep Democrat, and he gets nothing but love and support. Now, obviously, where do you think, because you mentioned there is a cause for concern, perhaps a fear, to even talk about a stolen election or even talk about the possibility that there could be election theft or rigged elections in Brazil. Where do you think it's worse right now? Do you think it's worse in America or worse in Brazil as far as if you speak out, you can end up in trouble?
Definitely. I see Brazil is like the American future if Americans don't do something about it. Brazil, it's definitely worse. Like in the United States, the institutions, they're still a little stronger. It's not so blunt as in Brazil right now. And to give you an example, today CNN just published a news, CNN Brazil just published a news with a say from Alexandre de Moraes saying, oh, it's going to be very bad. So something like in this term that it will be very bad if 2026, there is a conservative move on the Congress in Brazil. So can you picture a justice of the Supreme Court giving these remarks so clearly about their political preference? It's something that here in the U.S. that's still implied, not so explicit as in Brazil. So I see Brazil as being worse, but if the U.S. is not careful enough, it's going to go to that same direction.
Has support for Bolsonaro, has questioning of the official narrative or questioning the election results, has it been completely chilled out in Brazil? Nobody even wants to talk about it, post about it on social media?
Well, we are doing it, but most people that try to do it that had a relevance publicly are on the list that was released just yesterday from the Congress. If you see a lot of those decisions, the reasoning behind was because they were questioning the electoral the votes, and to make a parallel, while the U.S., the main issue was the mail-in voting, which you could not really confirm the identity of the voters in Brazil. The situation is that there's an electronic vote and there's no audit. You cannot audit. There's nothing that's printed that you can confirm. So there are expert reports that show that this can be the codes on those electronic votes can be modified, and there's no way that we can even audit that.
Do you think this has a lot to do with what they're trying to do on the Supreme Court to Elon Musk and to his platform X, formerly known as Twitter? Is it kind of like in America where Facebook, YouTube, the mainstream social media platforms, they'll censor your speech, where on X, you can still engage in most political speech there without being censored? Is it the same in Brazil? Is that why they're going after Musk?
That's precisely it. The Elon Musk, what X is releasing to Congress that went out yesterday, it's no different that when these documents also went to Google, it went to YouTube, it went to Facebook, Instagram, but all of these complied. And Here, Elon Musk was the one that questioned, that's why it went out, the word went out that way. So definitely. And by the way, today, just this morning, the Brazil one of the main players of Brazil called Globo, released a news saying that the Supreme Court is now waiting about maybe suspend social media platform as a whole. They're verifying whether that will be okay to do, considering that they are not following a judicial order, believe it or not. So that's the point we are getting. And let me add something else. It's concerning to see the Brazilian government getting closer to Russia, Iran, China. This is happening as we speak. We just had last week the bombarding on Israel, and the Brazil executive government did not issue any statement in terms of being outrageous by the fact, but one can remain neutral on that. So it's all that is tied and it's concerning.
All right, we are almost out of time here. I got to ask this because this is just how I feel looking at this situation. I would love to go back to Brazil someday, Sao Paulo, Rio, Curitiba. I enjoyed all these cities, but I feel afraid. I feel like if I show in Brazil, they might just lock me up and disappear me. Is that a legitimate fear for an American?
I wouldn't say that way. Of course, that violence is a point of concern. I wouldn't say that, but of course, like the same way that they just a couple of months ago, they tried to arrest a Portuguese journalist for what they kept posting on social media, and then they ended up releasing it. I don't see them putting an American citizen in prison because of opinion of their opinion, of their expression of that. Not because of that, no.
Well, maybe when the federal government lets me leave the county again, then I'll find myself back there in beautiful Brazil, and hopefully we can free it of communism. Anna Schaefer, thank you for joining us. If there's any updates that you want to let the American people know about, feel free to reach out, and we'll get you back on the air for those. Thank you.
Well, definitely do. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Thank you.
Brazil and the United States, folks, I'm telling you, if we can both get through these communist regimes that we're dealing with, a potential beautiful partnership could be on the other side. All right, we got Trump, we got Biden. Let's get to it all starting now. First, let's go to Donald Trump. He's in court. If he doesn't show up to court, they threaten to put him in jail. This is all part of their election interference. It's all part of their corruption. So they broke for lunch, and Trump exited the courtroom and spoke to the media. Here it is.
So thank you very much. I wanted to just say that I'm supposed to be in New Hampshire. I'm supposed to be in Georgia. I'm supposed to be in North Carolina, South Carolina. I'm supposed to be in a lot of different places campaigning. But I've been here all day on a trial that really is a very unfair trial. These are all stories. This is over the last few days from legal experts. This is Wall Street Journal editorial. But all of these are stories from legal experts saying how this is not a case. The case is ridiculous. This is another one. The case is a ridiculous Trump indictment. It's missing fraud. There is no fraud. All of these stories are stories of how, and these are done by the experts and editorials, Bragg falsified business record, and he falsifies them. He's the one. He's the fraud. But take a look at all of these are stories. You see them here. Bragg's indictment even falls as an indictment. All of them. Bragg crosses the Rubicon, indicting Trump on nonsense. The whopping outrage in Trump's indictment. It's a whopping outrage, and it is an outrage. Everybody's outraged by it. You know, we had 18 DA or DA types, or close,
18 or 19 or 21, if they counted all their in and out like. And in the meantime, you have murders going on right outside in New York. Look at this National Review. Another National Review. Jonathan Turley, Greg Jarrett, Andrew McCarthy. Every one of them saying they call it a zombie case, meaning it is no case. And they say, is it constitutional? They don't think the case is. These are all stories that have taken place over the last few days. Take a look at this. D.A. Bragg wants us to believe that his pursuit of Trump isn't political. Of course it's political. And they're doing it for Biden. They're doing this for Joe Biden. Even the Rolling Stone, no friend of mine, they don't like it says, they don't like Bragg's chances on this case. It's a disgrace. That's a nice headline. I'd like to read that one too. But everyone who lies about the case, justice is on trial. You know, the whole world is watching this New York scam. The trial spectacle begins. That's Wall Street Journal.
Talk show host Trump?
It's a spectacle.
Look at this.
Every one of these.
You guys remember when he guest hosted Rush Limbaugh?
America is a third world country. Daily Caller. Wow. That's New York Magazine, even.
All There's only one man who can do what I do, and that's Donald Trump.
That says it's a good
My
job.
Friend.
It's political. This is a Wall Street Journal editorial. And it's a shame. It's a shame. And I'm sitting here for days now, from morning till night, in that freezing room. Freezing. Everybody was freezing in there.
What is that?
All for this, and this is your result. Look at that. Each one of them a story. And it's very unfair. Very bad thing. Very bad thing. The whole world is watching this hoax. You got a DA that's out of control. You have a judge that's highly conflicted. The whole thing is a mess. And you have the leading candidate and leading crooked Joe Biden by line. He's the one that should be in trial. He's a crook. You got a crooked president. He should be in trial with all the stuff he's done and his family. He should be in trial. But he's the one in charge. His top people are here working with the DA's office to make sure everything goes right. But it shouldn't go right because they have no case. And that's what this is all about. And it really is a shame. This country is devolving into a third world country between having no borders, having no justice, we have no justice, and having a press that doesn't want to cover the facts. So thank you very much.
See you tomorrow. So it'll be interesting to see what goes on with this. Could this be more effective than even a campaign? I mean, really, because Trump can campaign, but he's already done the campaign. He's already done the rally tours. Could these post-trial press conferences, could these mid-trial lunch break press conferences addressing them, having this new spin, this new angle, could this be more effective than even a rally potentially? And again, could Trump hit the streets after this? Could Trump go to the next bodega or the next sandwich shop or whatever and have the massive crowds? I mean, then what does that do? And we'll show you when Biden tried to do that. We'll show all the Biden stuff coming up next. This is breaking now. A second seated juror removed after being sworn in by Judge Merchan. And so this is because they're obviously biased and the judge knows that. This whole case is so corrupted, folks. It's really unreal. I mean, it truly. Of all the cases, this one is probably the most ridiculous. And so it's about as fake as Stormy Daniels' chest there. So here's one of the judges, or here's one of the jurors that was sworn in and then canceled, basically admitting that, yeah, I'm just here to get Trump. I can't be fair. And I mean, they're so dumb. They just come out and say it to the media. That's how aggressive. That's how fake they know the whole thing is. They just assume the whole thing is rigged. They know it. Here's that in clip 28.
One of the jurors called up the court to inform them that she did not know whether she could actually be fair and impartial. She was asked to come to court this morning and went before the defense and went before the district attorney's office and answered questions about how she got to that conclusion. And she said, in part, that she got calls just yesterday alone from, quote, friends, colleagues, and family, quote, questioning my identity as a juror. She continued, I don't believe I can be fair and unbiased and let the outside influences not affect me in the courtroom. This hits at the heart of the difficulty for these jurors over the course of the next 6 to 8 weeks. These are individuals who, they are anonymous, yet we and the sides have some details about who these individuals are, their neighborhoods, their occupation.
There was a, it's like an 8-minute video. That's why I didn't bother sending it to the crew, but it's one of the jurors that was sworn in who's now removed, this blonde lady. And she's outside talking to the press for 10 minutes, just railing on Trump. I mean, see, this is what I tried to explain, and I understand most people don't know what it's like. That's not to insult people. It's just I don't know what it's like to go serve overseas. I've never been in the military serving overseas, so yeah, I don't know what that's like. Most people don't know what it's like to sit in a courtroom and know that the judge is against you, the jury is against you, the prosecutors are against you, that the whole courtroom is against you. And to be in the courtroom and actually in that moment realize there is no justice, there is no hope for justice, this whole deal is rigged, these people don't care about truth, justice, evidence, nothing. And that's what it's like. And that's what this is like. So, I mean, what is there, like 1% of integrity now that they're actually removing these blatantly biased jurors? But they had no choice. They go in front of the media and they say, I hate Trump. I can't be fair. And then they're like, well, gee, we have to get rid of you, you dummy. It's like, don't you know that's why we put you on the jury? So that we could screw Trump? You don't go out and say it to the public. They're not very bright people. Liberals. Yeah, there she is right there. There was your Trump-hating judge bragging about how much she hated Trump after she was sworn in. She don't. All right, let's get into Biden now. And his recent activity. It's bad. Oh, it's bad. I guess let's just start picking it up and putting it down. Okay, Biden again in Pennsylvania, quote unquote, rallying. And he did actually have a public rally. There's about 200 seats available. There were more people outside protesting. Let's see, where... Here's the protest outside. This is actually in Pittsburgh. Major protest outside Biden rally in Pittsburgh, clip 20. Hey, hey, ho, ho, Joe Biden has got to go. Wow. Remember, we used to hear that for Trump. Now it's the leftists, by the way. Those are actually leftists protesting. You can tell by the Palestinian flags there. So you have leftists protesting Biden as well, as I'm sure there's some Trump supporters in there as well. So that's outside. That's outside Pittsburgh, where he was meeting with the steelworkers, who he lied to, by the way. Here's the lie Joe Biden told the steelworkers in Pittsburgh in clip 7.
The mayor and I are buddies. I told the mayor, and I mean it sincerely, the first outfit ever to endorse me. As a 29-year-old kid running in a tough year for United States Senate, make me the second youngest man ever elected to the Senate, was a guy named Huey Carcella. And back in those days, we had a big steelworkers. We had a lot of steelworkers in Claymont, Delaware, where I was from, because they worked in Worth Steel Company. And I'll never forget coming to me and saying, we're going to get your help. And I came out to Pittsburgh, and steelworkers endorsed me. It changed everything.
So he tells the steelworkers union that they were the first to endorse him in 1972. That was the first lie he told. Here's the proof. This video was published by Joe Biden February 1st, 2024, telling the United Auto Workers they were the first to endorse him in clip 27.
Hello.
Hello, Joe Biden. Sean?
Hey, Mr. President, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Sorry to
be a few minutes late. I was downstairs doing an event.
Oh, he's late, huh?
So you have stuff going on, evidently, as president, huh?
Nothing more important than talking to you, Sean.
The whole thing is scripted.
That's a fact. Hey,
I just want to let you know I'm sitting here with our entire international executive board, and we wanted to call and let you know that
we've met and we decided it's time
to endorse you for president, and we're going to put the UAW membership behind you.
Whoa. Woo! You were the first outfit out there endorsed me when I ran in 1972 as a kid. You helped me out then.
We appreciate you standing
there
up with
us in
our fight.
So he tells the United Auto Workers they were the first to endorse him in 1972. In a fake scripted video that he shows up late for. And then he tells the United Steelworkers that they were the first to endorse him in 1972. This guy is a liar. He lies right to their face, but they still endorse him. Maybe these union workers are blackmailed too. Maybe they're just all blackmailed. Here he lies to them again in clip number 8.
Pennsylvania lost 275,000 jobs. I mean, let's look at the facts. On my watch, unemployment hasn't been this low for this long in 50 years. That's 50 years. Wages are rising. American manufacturing is booming. We've created up close to 800,000 new manufacturing jobs since I became president, including 28,000 manufacturing jobs right here in Pennsylvania. We've attracted $680 billion. Let me say it again. $680 billion in private sector investment in advanced manufacturing and clean energy here in America, including $4 billion just here in the state of Pennsylvania so far.
All these numbers are cooked. First of all, there is no data that shows wages are rising, but even if the wages were rising, they're not rising at the same rate as inflation. When he talks about employment, most of the jobs are either people working two jobs, people having to leave their salary job and work in the service industry hourly, or it's illegal immigrants and non-citizens getting the jobs, which that's all according to the latest jobs report that they've been flouting around. So he lies about that. There's no increased manufacturing in the United States. Because he killed U.S. energy, U.S. manufacturing is actually down. What he's talking about is all these green new plans of proposed manufacturing that never even end up happening. Like, remember the project? What was it, guys? They spent like $900 million to build electric carports, and then they built two or some ridiculous thing. That's what he's talking about. These green new energy deals that they cut, fund a bunch of money into, and then they never even happen. So it's just lie, 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 lie. Okay. This might be the most ridiculous of them all. This might be the most ridiculous of them all. Here he is speaking to the press while he's in between events. And I mean, folks, where is he even getting this crap? Nobody knows. So yeah, there it is right there. $900 million for electric vehicle chargers. They said they were going to build 500,000. I think they built, what was it, guys? They built six? They built less than 10, guys. That's the quote-unquote manufacturing jobs. They don't even exist. So he just sits there and lies. To Joe Biden's defense, though, he doesn't even know what's going on. He's slurring through most of these speeches. Listen to this one. This is next level. I mean, here we go. Let's just, I don't even know how to pitch this. Joe Biden living in fantasy land, telling fairy tales in clip 9. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Crowds gathering.
I'm sorry. No. Clip. Yeah. Here's Joe Biden telling fairy tales and then lying in clip 10.
Ambrose Finnegan, we called him Uncle Bozy. He was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. He flew single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals in the beginning at the time. They never recovered his body, but the government went back when I went down there and they checked and found some parts of the plane and the like. And what I was thinking about when I was standing there was,
when Trump refused to go up to the memorial for veterans in Paris, and he said they're a bunch of suckers and losers.
Okay, so we'll just ignore the lies he tells about Trump there. Uncle Bozy, he says his uncle Aaron Finnegan, Uncle Bozy, which we have to question everything here. Did he even have an Uncle Finnegan? Did he even have it? Was there even an Aaron? Did Aaron Finnegan ever exist in reality, or is it some movie person he's putting into his life? Well, it turns out that he did actually have an Aaron Finnegan who was his uncle, but there's a problem with this, folks. There is a record of Finnegan's plane going down, and there is a record of what happened to that crew. And it just so happens there's even a record of Finnegan himself. Aaron Finnegan's plane did crash, and his body was never recovered because his plane crashed in the ocean. And there is literally military record of all of this. He never crashed on the island, was never eaten by cannibals. Nobody ever told him that. That was never on any record. And he just, I mean, where does he even come up with this stuff? You almost have to give him credit. I mean, he probably tells great bedtime stories to the kids he's about to. So he just fantasizes about his uncle getting eaten by cannibals. What in the hell is going on here? So it's all over the news. Just like he lied to the auto workers or the steel workers or both or one or the other, he lied about his quote-unquote Uncle Bozy. And it's all over the news. Just plug it in. I mean, even I think it was even like Raw Story, Politico. I mean, even the far-left news organization just saying, well, actually, no. Here's the naval military record. Joe Biden's Uncle Bozy, his plane crashed in the ocean, and he was one of two men that they never recovered. Their bodies are in the bottom of the ocean. They could never get them. It was a plane crash in the ocean. He never was on the island. They never got eaten by cannibals. Where does he come up with this stuff? He just makes it up. For all of the faculties that Joe Biden has lost, there's one thing that remains consistent. This guy can make things up and lie on command. He never lost that ability. I guess that's been his greatest skill his entire life, is to make things up and lie on the spot. Because he's so honed at that skill, he's still got it. Nothing else, but he's got that. All right, now we move to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where Biden was also getting protests at his rally. So you see, this is what I talk about, folks. He can't have a rally. They may just shut him down altogether, because this is not going to stop. Here's in Philadelphia, before his rally starts, a tiny little rally. I mean, it's truly small. Here he is getting protested before it even starts in clip two. No, it's not really a free country.
I have rights to be here. I was warned. What kind of president is this that cannot face his own people? Why are you pushing me? Why? I'm inviting to this event. This is my right to be here. This is my right to be here.
So Biden obviously needs to campaign in Pennsylvania. Big swing state. Election could hinge on it potentially. And when he gets these ludicrous numbers in Pittsburgh and in Philadelphia, where the Democrats just stuff the ballot box, there has to at least be some reasoning. Well, look, he campaigned there. Guys, just put the B-roll back on the screen. I don't need the audio. Okay, so Biden gets protested at his own events. Folks, I want you to observe how tiny this rally is. This is in what appears to be a high school gymnasium, and they have it cut in half. So not even a full gymnasium. A half job here. He can't fill a high school gymnasium, so they cut it in half. But then
half of the half, so only a quarter of it, is even for people to attend the rally. The other is just media. As you can see there, half of the half, so a quarter of the gym is media, and then a quarter of the gym is people attending the rally, and then there's the stage, and the other half is closed off. Folks, this is bad. This is embarrassing. So Biden gets about 100 people at a rally. But what else have I explained? These are closed rallies. These aren't open rallies. Not just anybody can go. And this is why. So somehow this guy snuck himself in, or somehow this guy was able to get in via a friend, or maybe he's got a Democrat voter record or a donor or a precinct chair. And so he was able to get in. This is not open for the public. Not just anybody can show up at a Biden rally. You have to be invited. You have to be a trusted member of the Democrat Party, trusted member of whatever group he's out there getting promoted by. And this is why. So you're talking about a Biden rally with 100 people in Philadelphia. After he leaves Pittsburgh for a rally he had with 50 people that are just all steelworker union people that are told to be there. They're there because it's their job. Now, we'll show you what happened when he tried to do what Trump did and go out in public. But first, here's, guys, give me clip one and then clip four. First, he gets confused while talking, and then he gets lost on the stage.
Heard me say it before. Wall Street didn't build America. Middle class didn't build America. And you guys built the middle class. Unions built it.
What?
Mr. President.
Okay, press.
Now here he is being directed around, told where to go, confused, disoriented. This is really sad stuff. This is really sad stuff. All right, more Biden embarrassment when we come back from this break. I mean, this is just a joke. Guy can't even get 100 people at a rally. All right, let's do this again. Here's Biden. See if you can try to make out anything he says here in clip one.
Before, Wall Street didn't build America. Middle class didn't build America. And you guys built the middle class. Unions built it.
Wall Street didn't duel America, the middle class didn't build America, and you guys built the middle class. I think I got that right. Okay. See if you can make out what he says here in, well, you can make out what he says here. It makes no sense in clip six.
My mom didn't live in Scranton since she was 1954.
My mom didn't live in Scranton since she was 1954. Okay, thank you, Joe, for that. Then here he is talking to the press about the Israel situation, and, well, he makes a major mistake here in clip three.
And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. It's just not, I mean, anyway, I just,
mm-hmm.
Look what we did recently. When Israel was attacked.
So he got lost, he got confused, and Haifa is a city in Israel, folks. Haifa is a city in Israel. So he either realized that and bailed out entirely, or he just realized he doesn't have a clue what he's talking about and bailed out with the old, what's the go-to for him? Well, anyway, that's his bailout. And by the way, he's been trained on this because he does actually have dementia. So he's been trained on this. Whenever you lose your train of thought or whenever you get confused or whenever you're unsure what you're talking about, just bail out with well anyway. That's why you keep hearing well anyway, well anyway, well anyway. 10 times he says it during a speech. 10 times he says it at a campaign event. That's what he does. That's what he's been trained to do. Whenever you lose your train of thought, forget where you are, forget what you're talking about, or make a major blunder, you just say, well, anyway, and then try to pick it up somewhere else. It's the well, anyway presidency. And there's the real president running the show, Barack Obama. Because Joe Biden can't talk. And that's the big secret, really, that everybody knows. Obama is really the president. It's his policy. He's the one that gets the respect. Joe Biden is nothing. Joe Biden is a front man, a puppet, a phony, a fraud. But they needed somebody in there. They needed somebody that they could control. That's how bad it is. So, afterwards, Biden wanted to show how popular he is. Biden wanted to show that he's more popular than Donald Trump. So he said, I'll show Donald. I'll go out to the public. I'll go to a bodega. I'll go out on the streets, and you can see that I, Joe Biden, I'm the popular one. And so here's how that went in clip five. I mean, listen to the crowd. Listen to the roars. Listen to the excitement. Listen to the love. You can feel the energy. I can hear elevator music. That's about it, actually. About as exciting as an elevator ride. Doesn't even know where he is. Doesn't buy lunch for everybody with him. They just hand him a bag and tell him to shuffle away. I've had elevator rides more exciting than this. I've had elevator rides with more energy than this, more passion. Maybe I've had some exciting elevator rides, though, so maybe that's not fair to say. You ever had an exciting elevator ride? I don't know. I'm just trying to find something to pass this boring time of Joe Biden. I've had some pretty exciting elevator times, actually. The elevator doesn't go to the top with Joe Biden, if you know what I mean. Stuck on the bottom floor. Here he is, just dazed and confused. He's got to keep the sunglasses on because he doesn't even know. He can't see his eyes.
Don't jump.
Wow. I mean, wow, folks. That is just...
Don't jump.
So that's it. That's Biden visiting the bodega there in Philadelphia. Literally gets ignored. Nobody cares. Total low energy. Doesn't have command of the room. Nobody shows up. No energy. No hype. Dazed and confused. They hand him a bag of donuts and he leaves. And he says, don't jump. I mean, what is even that? But let's do a side-by-side. Let's do it. Direct compare and contrast. Trump visits bodega versus Biden visits bodega.
Crowds gather in Upper Manhattan as former President Trump visits a bodega.
This is the moment Mr. Trump arrived tonight. People lined up along 139th and Broadway as he made his way inside the Hamilton Heights bodega to meet with Jose Alba. Alba is the bodega worker who fatally stabbed a man in July of 2022 in a case of self-defense.
On Tuesday, he used a Harlem bodega as a backdrop to slam Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg for being what he calls soft on crimes that matter.
Without a doubt, very much supported here in Harlem.
So the crew is pointing something else out. I guess he tried this twice Is that what we're picking up here, guys? Or what are we? So there's two videos. These are two different stores, I'm thinking. So Biden tried to do this twice. He tried to do this twice. He did it once at a gas station bodega, and there was nobody there, and nobody cared, and it was a flop. And then he did it at a Wawa, and it was the same thing. So these are two different videos then. Is that our conclusion here, guys? Okay. So I didn't even know. I thought it was the one trip. He did two trips. Do we have audio on the other one? If so, this is just, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. All right. Let me know if we have audio of this. Okay, here it is. Yeah. So in other words, there is no audio because nobody cares. There's no noise.
And again, it doesn't matter who.
So Biden had two public trips that day, and still nobody gave a flying sandwich. All right. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen. It is April 18th, and we have 202 days till the presidential election. Now, why am I rehashing this? Why am I pointing this out? Things are really not even that politicized right now, even though this is probably, the most focus this early into an election season, definitely in modern history, since 2016 probably. But this phenomenon that we've witnessed here this week of Donald Trump being banned from campaigning by a corrupt judge in New York City, so then just organically has a pop-up rally at a bodega in Harlem where thousands of people show up, and it's like a ticker tape parade in New York City. Just epic. I mean, the energy, the love, everything. You wish you were there. I mean, really, you wish you were there. It's like, damn, I wish I was there. And then Joe Biden has a rally in Pittsburgh. Well, actually, a rally in Scranton with 50 people, a rally in Pittsburgh with 50 steelworkers, a rally in Philadelphia with 100 people that's the biggest audience he's ever had in half a high school gymnasium, and then goes to two different public shops to try to have a moment, and just flops and then flops again. So Donald Trump, in one single moment at the bodega, has more support, more energy, larger crowds, more noise, you name it, than Biden has at three rallies and two public appearances combined. I mean, probably times 10, probably times 20. More people will watch Donald Trump's statements outside of the courtroom than they will anything Joe Biden says or does. So this has gravity. This has momentum. This is only going to continue. This trend is only going to continue. It's not going to change. And as we get closer to the election, it's going to get even bigger. It's going to get even more attention. I mean, it's going to be wild. And like I said, some of this stuff is unpredictable as far as what they're going to do to Trump and the corrupt system and all the lawsuits and everything and the charges. So Trump's like on a moving platform here, and he's still going to have massive success, where Biden is on a totally stationary platform that goes 1 mile per hour, and yet he'll have no success. And so this is all going to build into September and then October. And it's going to be flop after flop after flop after flop after flop for Biden. And then Trump's going to be sitting here in these corrupt cases and then get out of court and then go to a Chick-fil-A in Atlanta, and 1,000 people are going to show up, and he's going to order chicken sandwiches, and everybody's going to be doing hugs and handshakes, having a great time. And then Biden's going to show up somewhere, and he's going to get booed, and he's going to get protested, and he's going to get no audience and no energy. So all of this is cascading into the election. How do they pull it off and tell you Joe Biden beats Donald Trump in an election? Tell me how they pull that off. Because it just goes beyond the pale at that point. It just goes beyond the pale at that point. It's more ridiculous than the WWE. I mean, it's more ridiculous than the most fake, ludicrous movie that you've ever seen. And that's where this is headed. That's where this is headed. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's do this. O'Keefe Media does it again. We're going to play some of this. O'Keefe Media uncovers who is really running the White House. So like I said earlier, I forgot I even had this video. Everybody knows Biden isn't running anything. Everybody knows it's all run by special interests, advisors, Obama behind the scenes with policy and influence. But there's actual people in the White House that are really running things and moving and shaking. And O'Keefe Media Group does it again. They just published this video where a White House advisor basically just spills all the beans. Yep, everybody knows Biden doesn't do a damn thing, and it's all the advisors. And he names names here in clip 25.
Meet the newest subject in our latest investigation into the D.C. swamp, Tyler Robinson. Tyler is a special advisor working at the Small Business Administration.
You're in politics, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How long have you been in politics?
Since like 2012.
What's your title? Like
special advisor. I work for the chief of staff, like directly.
Oh, you report to the chief of staff. What's the person?
His name is Arthur.
Okay, it's a guy. Arthur. So Arthur's the chief of staff to Guzman, and then you report to Arthur.
Yeah.
Tyler explains he reports directly to a man named Arthur Plews, the chief of staff in the office of the administrator at the SBA, who reports to SBA Administrator Isabel Guzman. Guzman was sworn in as administrator of the SBA by Kamala Harris in 2021. Tyler says he can't do anything overtly political, but confirms the SBA is indirectly campaigning for Biden and, quote, helping retain members of Congress to get reelected.
You're politically appointed.
Yes. The administrator is the most traveled member of the cabinet. Like, pretty much every week.
You mean your boss?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much every week she goes somewhere in the country and, like, talks to small business owners and gets on local news and says, like,
wow,
this is what the Biden economy is doing for you guys in this area.
So she's basically a spokesperson for Biden.
Yeah.
And so, like, she can tell Biden's
accomplishments. We can tell their accomplishments. She can't, like, go on stage and be like, or go on the news and be like, hey, Joe, vote for Joe Biden. Like, that's illegal.
So she's indirectly, campaigning for Biden.
Yeah, yeah.
She's indirectly campaigning for Biden.
Yes, yeah. But, like, yeah, there's just certain rules for, like, political appointees.
Yeah.
And what we're allowed to say and, like, do.
You and your boss?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Isabella Guzman. She's from California. We're going to this area in Pennsylvania, which is a huge swing state.
It's a huge swing state.
Yeah. A state that Biden needs to win the presidency. And we're not saying, hey, go vote for Joe Biden, but we're saying, hey, because we passed this law and this law that no Republicans voted for,
mm-hmm.
That only Democrats voted for and passed,
yeah.
You know, we are, like, at that time, that trip, we announced that the administration was investing $5 million. This is going directly to that community.
So why can't you help Biden?
There's, like, it's called the Hatch Act.
Unofficially campaigning for Biden and other elected Democratic officials to small businesses across the nation is a potential violation of the Hatch Act. The Hatch Act mandates that civil service employees in the executive branches of the federal government abstain from any active part in political campaigns. Several members of the Biden administration have already received warnings from the Office of Special Counsel and Watchdog Groups for violations of the Hatch Act, including Housing and Urban Development Secretary Marcia Fudge, former White House Press Secretary Jen
Fudge,
Psaki,
no fudge and way.
White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain. Tyler describes Guzman as a spokesperson for Biden and as the most traveled member of the cabinet as she uses her position to help get Democrats like Montana Senator John Tester reelected.
Administrator Guzman said basically are going to these critical battleground states to basically campaign for President Biden.
Anytime we go, we try to visit with a member of Congress if they're a Democrat.
Why do you need a member of Congress to go?
Just because then we can help them get reelected as well. So we're going to Montana because Senator Tester, he's the Democratic senator from Montana.
Okay.
Like, he's in the tough reelection race. And that's like a seat we need in the Senate to maintain a majority. Like, if he loses
Montana,
it's harder.
We're screwed.
Yeah, it's harder to win somewhere else. We all, like, as an office, we're going.
He should lose, but, you know, the Democrats play shenanigans in Boise and...
Don't invite the Billings.
Republican.
Yeah. And don't invite the two members of Congress because they're Republicans.
So the White House authorized you guys to go campaign for this senator.
Yeah.
What kind of campaigns does the SBA run to help Biden?
I mean, we can't do anything like overtly political. Like, we can't send out like an email to small businesses like vote Joe Biden.
Tyler Robinson continues to describe the inner workings of the Biden White House by mentioning Jeff Zients, the White House chief of staff. Tyler states, quote, by getting Jeff's sign-off, you're getting the president's sign-off, labeling him as the second most powerful person in Washington, D.C.
Down the line, it's up to, like, the president, the chief of staff.
The chief of staff to the president approved it.
Yeah. There's a guy named Jeff Zients.
Jeff Zients?
Zients. Within the White House, there's something called the Office of Cabinet Affairs.
Office of Cabinet Affairs.
Yeah,
okay.
And so they,
all these names.
Yeah. They're responsible for, like, overseeing all the different cabinet agencies, like cabinet secretaries.
And your boss is one of the cabinet secretaries. So
they tell us
it went all the way up, basically. From
all right. This is a bit of a slow burn. I have some other news to get to. But to see the difference here is this guy's not like a overtly flamboyant twink that is hoping to get some booty juice. So he's not as aggressive spilling the beans. He's actually just having a cordial conversation with this lady explaining it all. So you can see the difference there. But you can watch the full video on James O'Keefe's X account where he's published that. I do have some other news that I want to get to. We've got two segments left. There's also a bunch of videos still remaining that I'd like to play too. We'll try to get it all here. But the point is, he gets into how, yeah, it's basically all these different groups and these advisors that they all run anything or they all run everything. Biden doesn't really run anything. Everybody knows that it's Joe Biden. Okay, he said his mother was 1954 today. So that's what you get there. He gets dazed and confused really easily. So overwhelming him with anything at all in the White House is just not an option. So we run the show, actually. And they're all Obama sycophants. It's truly incredible stuff. And it's all rich liberals. Isn't that funny? It's all a bunch of multi-centi-millionaire, billionaire, rich liberals influencing it and buying it. And you liberals think you're protesting the rich? Funny stuff, isn't it? Funny stuff. And be careful who you protest, by the way. Some groups you're not allowed to protest. We'll get that coming up as well. All right. If you like this show, we hope you do. We hope you'll support us by shopping at InfoWarsStore.com. And again, I was asked earlier today, what are your favorite products? I said DNA Force Plus and then either Vitamin Mineral Fusion or Turbo Force Plus. I like those drink mixes. But then the water filters, because I can't mix Vitamin Mineral Fusion into fluoride water. I can't. I mean, they put out a story today. I probably should have printed it. Maybe I'll bring it in tomorrow. Fox News is like, these forever chemicals have been found in your water. Your tap water has chemicals that could lead to cancer and all these other things. It's like, yeah, that's why we sell water filters. We don't want to drink poison water either. So we have water filters here. We sell water filters. So the water filters are always just an imperative. If you're not filtering your water, please, please get a water filter from InfoWarsStore.com. We found the highest quality out there, gravity fed, highest quality, lowest price. It's an imperative for your house. Friends, family coming over. You don't want to feed them. You don't want to make them drink the tap water. Okay. You don't even want to cook with the tap water, quite frankly. We have the best water filtration systems. Gets rid of all the toxins, the fluoride, all of it. InfoWarsStore.com. Always going to be a top product for me. But hey, Vitamin Mineral Fusion, 40% off. Turbo Force Plus, 40% off. DNA Force Plus, 50% off. All happening right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Some protests are less equal than others. So we got a whole stack of this here. where specifically it's Columbia University making all the news here, protesting against Israel or pro-Palestine, however you want to frame it. Let's go to some of the sights and sounds before we hit the headlines. Let's start here. Go ahead and roll. Just go down the list. Start with clip 12 here, guys. So they made an encampment there on campus, and they were just living in tents there. They called it a liberated zone. Activists set up a liberated zone on Columbia University campus, refused to leave until Palestine is free. I guess they would have been there forever. So they had all these tents and everything. It's obviously well-funded because they all have these nice tents and all of them are the same. A lot of the Muslim students there, obviously. The anti-Israel left out there protesting. Even saw some other country flags. We got a Mexican flag. And then the cops eventually go in after a couple days and start arresting them. Okay, so that's kind of the larger scene there. And they have a little, is that a little drum circle? Oh, yeah. And is that a live shot there, guys, or what is that one? Wait a second. Okay. Hold on now. So the cops go in there. They clear out the liberated zone. They definitely detained. I don't know if any arrests or charges were made or if anybody went to prison. But they definitely removed them from the scene. You also had big protests in England, by the way. But I'll tell you what, I'll just kind of skip over that. And then I want to get an update on that other video you had. Columbia anti-Israel protests turned violent. Provocateur arrested for reportedly hitting an officer. So that you're going to jail. NYPD at Columbia University removes zip-tied anti-Israel protesters. Okay. Now, it looked like they were doing... Guys, what was that other video you showed from Freedom.News? Was that a recent video? So, were they protesting outside the university in the streets now? Is that what that is? By any means necessary, Reed's banner as pro-Palestine protesters gather to pray outside of Columbia University gates as students continue to rally on the lawn. So they're doing a Muslim prayer now, and they're waving the Palestinian flag. This is just nuts. This is just nuts. And I go back to my commentary immediately following the October 7th attack in Israel. I knew this was going to happen, and it pissed me off. We now have the centuries-old holy wars in our country, and it pisses me off. It pisses me off. I am sick of this crap. Why are you bringing your holy war to the United States of America, a Christian nation? Is it even a Christian nation anymore? Is it a Zionist nation? Is it a Muslim nation? I am so sick of this crap. And I'll have to just put that aside. I'll have to just put that aside. But let me just tell you, watching these groups bring their holy war to my country pisses me off. And I don't know why that isn't the common take here. And I don't know why more Americans aren't outraged at that as a general commentary. Take your holy war back to your country. We don't want it here. Thank you very much. But it's almost like this was set up, wasn't it? It's almost like this whole thing was set up. But some protests are more equal than others. So protest against Israel at your own peril. So at USC, you had the valedictorian, who's a Muslim, set to give the speech at graduation, but she protests against Israel, so now she has been removed. USC announced that valedictorian Asna Tabassum commencement speech has been canceled. Necessary to maintain the safety of our campus and our students. She says, I am surprised that my own university has abandoned me. Well, don't you realize you could have gone up there and criticized white people and you would have been celebrated. If she would have done a commencement speech against white people, she would have been celebrated. And of course that speech would have been accepted. But because you decided to protest Israel, sorry. But isn't this amazing? Because Muslims have been held up by the left. Remember, Islamophobia and all this other stuff. And so Muslims have been held up and propped up by the left. Oh, we're here for you. We'll deal with the Islamophobia and all this other stuff. And so they thought that they were above it all. They thought that they could come here and wreak havoc with their political opinions or commentary or anti-Israel sentiment. They thought they'd be fine. Wrong-o. Wrong-o. Learning that the hard way. So they're like, what the heck? I thought it was good. I thought that, you know, you were protecting us against Islamophobia. No. No, because anti-Semitism is a bigger issue than Islamophobia. And now you learn that. See, you should have just criticized white people. You'd have been fine. If you would have just gone out there and criticized white people, then nobody would have cared. You would have been celebrated. You'd be giving the commencement speech. But because you were critical of Israel or Jews, canceled. Canceled. So you see more here. They're showing it in New York. I'm so sick of this crap, man. Take your holy war back to the Middle East. We don't want it here. You sicken me. But there you go. They tried to do this at Google. Google fires 28 employees involved in sit-in protest over $1.2 billion Israel contract, anti-Israel protesters, pro-Palestinian protesters. They got arrested. They got fired. You should have protested Whitey. You should have been Black Lives Matter protesters. You should have been climate change protesters. Then you'd be fine. Then you'd be okay. You can't protest Israel. Don't you know what country you're in? But they own the left and the right. Pro-Israel money pours in to unseat progressives in congressional races. But they're trying to unseat the anti-Israel left, like the Squad, specifically Rashida Tlaib or Ilhan Omar. You also have, and it's AIPAC, the American-Israel Political Committee, Political Action Committee. I think that's what the acronym is. I may be mistaken on that. I forget what it is right now. But AIPAC, the big Israel lobby, huge Israel lobby since 1963, millions of dollars buying politicians, influencing our politics. And so there's a count, the AIPAC tracker. And they just go to these politicians that get all the money from AIPAC, like Josh Gottheimer, $1.5 million Democrat. Richie Torres, $1.2 million Democrat. Brad Schneider, $1.2 million Democrat. Mondaire Jones running for a seat in New York, Democrat. And you know what happens when the AIPAC tracker publicly posts all the money that they get from AIPAC? They get blocked. Guess they don't want you knowing about that, huh? Where's the American lobbying group for American policy? And then they write these stories, anti-Semitism up 200%. Since October 7th. How about anti-Americanism up 100%, up 10,000%, up 1,000,000%? Does anybody care about that? Is America allowed to have a country? Are we allowed to have pride? Last segment here. We tried to get through all the news. There was just too much. We'll do our best to get through what we have left here. Oh, man. I mean, let's conclude with the subject matter from the last segment. Look, the left has caused this clash of civilizations, and they've made it clear in the victim economy, whether this isn't even the left in control anymore, but they're the ones that have bought into this victim economy. But in the victim economy, you will always be second fiddle to Israel or Jews. And so they've set black people up thinking they're the biggest victims in the economy of victimhood. They've set Muslims up thinking they're the biggest victims in the economy of victimhood. And then they get the reminder that nope, the Jews will always be bigger victims than you. And so here's an example where there's this black girl just screaming. I mean, if anti-Semitism exists, it's far left Democrats like Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. And that's who ladies like this vote for. And she has some choice words for some Jews that are at University of Loyola Law School here in clip 17. Get the F out of here, all you ugly ass little Jewish people in this bitch. So first it was they go after the white folks. So first it was they attack white people, the anti-white bigotry. Whites aren't allowed in this hall. Whites aren't allowed here. And they're trained, oh, that's good. That's good. So they think, well, we can just carry this forward now. We can hate Jews too. Oh, nope, not allowed to do that. So, but see, again, if she said that about white people, it'd be fine. But because she said it about Jewish people, she'll probably get kicked off campus. And now it's in the AI. Grok was asked, what's the biggest argument for being anti-Christian? And it gives a long, I'm not going to read it all to you, but it gives a nice long response. It can respond if you ask, what's the argument for being anti-Christian? You ask, what's the best argument for being anti-Jew? I'm afraid I can't fulfill this request. Why is that? Why is it that you can give a nice long essay on the argument to be anti-Christian, but not on being anti-Jew? Why is that? Is that because Ben Shapiro took Elon Musk over to Israel and put a little hat on his head? ChatGPT. Now we go back to the political aspect and we break from everyone's favorite topic of Israel. ChatGPT. Make a complete timeline of the corruption the Biden family took part in Ukraine. ChatGPT. I'm sorry, but I can't fulfill that request. There is no evidence. Okay. ChatGPT. Make a complete timeline of Trump's corruption with Russia, and then boom, it's got the whole list there for you, which is all fake, by the way. Now, I don't want to spend too much time on this. AI. Does AI actually exist? Is there a sentient intelligence? Can there even be some form of inorganic sentient intelligence created by humans? Can it even be real? Or is it always going to be a derivative of code and human input? So when you see the bias from AI like Grok or ChatGPT, is that code that's embedded into the actual programming? Is that the AI just reading the internet or whatever's overwhelming on the internet? So essentially you could just rig the internet with masses of information. So it's, in other words, does it just organically say, oh, look at all this news that says Trump was colluding with Russia, therefore it must be real, versus this, there's not as much news about Biden and his crimes in Ukraine, so we just won't talk about that. So is that organic? Is that inorganic? That's the ultimate question. Now, I'm not claiming to be the AI expert. I would argue that no, that is inorganic, and it's likely that humans can't even really create a true sentient AI. That's just my opinion. I'm not claiming to be the expert. Any AI humans create is always going to be derivative of code or human input. And so my guess is that's what's going on. But if that's actual, let's just pretend like that's actual sentient AI. Let's just pretend like that's actual sentient AI. Do you realize how dangerous that is? If there's an actual sentient AI that then develops its own bigotry, Do you realize how dangerous that is? Pretty serious stuff. Pretty serious stuff. All right. Here, let's play one more clip here. Raskin. Is that Halo 3? Getting nostalgic today. Let's play Raskin and Comer going back and forth. Tell me, ChatGPT, what business endeavors does Biden have that he makes all this money overseas?
I will tell you this. If you believe that it would have been illegal for Joe Biden to take $5 million from Ukraine, it certainly would have been. What do you think about Donald Trump taking more than $5 million from the Chinese government while he was president?
Well, we know that Donald Trump had a legitimate business that he talked about and he campaigned on.
The legitimate business was the White House. He sold the White House.
Give me a break. What business were the Bidens in? Well, what business did Joe Biden's family own? What business were they in? Did they have hotels? Did they have a social media company? Did they have golf courses? Did they have casinos? Did they have office
buildings? Mr. Chairman.
What business?
And, of course, the answer is no. Biden had none of that. Biden has never had a business other than selling out America. And he made himself nice and rich from that, didn't he? Stunning stuff. Absolutely stunning stuff there. By the way, Marco Polo, Garrett Ziegler, defending themselves against the Biden crime family, has filed a motion to dismiss Hunter Biden's frivolous lawsuit against them with the SLAPP law, the anti-SLAPP law. So first, the laptop isn't real, but also it is real, and so we're going to sue for it. So the laptop isn't real when they're running for election, but then it is real, and now we have to sue because the guy that showed everybody our laptop needs to be sued, even though we said it wasn't real. Gotcha. That's how that one goes. Okay. This was a story the last 24 hours about 9/11 outages. Widespread 911 outages are reported in four states. Major 911 outages in four states leave millions without a way to contact local authorities. Outages in Las Vegas, South Dakota, Texas, blamed on a light pole installation. A light pole is what did that. They're saying it was a light pole. Those pesky light poles. Damn light poles, man. It's too bad we haven't installed a light pole before. Otherwise, we could have avoided this. But you know what's odd? Before that happened, just hours before that happened, ABC News published this story. Emergency services, a likely target for cyber attacks, warns DHS. Calling 911 is meant to save lives, but the emergency service and others like it are also viewed as ripe targets for criminally minded cyber attackers. And then it happened. Isn't that something? They always seem to know. They can't stop it, but they know it's going on. Maybe they know something about the open border causing a mass terror attack soon, just like they've warned. By the way, the temperature got up to 80 degrees in Texas. I mean, look out. Texas grid operator ERCOT warns of power emergency. ERCOT requests halt of maintenance. Power issues, power reserve issues. And so the temperature gets up to 80. It's April, and they're saying we already can't even power the grid. Why? Well, because you canceled coal and you canceled natural gas, and now the wind and the solar is failing us miserably. So way to go. So when the leftists take over, you won't even be able to have AC in your house. But don't worry. You stopped a cow fart. That does it for the InfoWars War Room. 21-hour break. We'll see you tomorrow. Stay classy, InfoWarriors.